This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi there, you're listening to More Than Potential, the podcast. On this show, we talk about mental health, well-being, and self-improvement from a Gen Z perspective. I'm your host, Faith. So guys, this is a very special episode. I'm very excited about what we have in store for you today. It's special for two reasons. The first is that this is the season finale of the first season. This is the real deal. I actually have a full season on all streaming platforms. Go like it, go review it, go share it. Tell your friends and your mama about it. I actually did it. I finally did something I've been wanting to do for a very long time. So that's really exciting. And this is just a way to wrap everything up with a neat little bow. And we're gonna do it with a bang before I go on hiatus. Don't worry, I'm not gonna be gone long, but I'm gonna be, you know, taking some self-care time. And as the country falls apart, I will also be falling apart. That is the first reason why this episode is super special, but also because I have a special guest. I wanted to end the season on a bang. And the special guest is a good friend of mine from college. She's someone that I've known for a while. And I think she is someone who can speak with authority on today's subject. So everybody give it up for the first guest on the show. Christy Bridge is in the building, everyone.
Hi, sisters. I'm giving myself a clap.
So how you feeling?
You know, like you said, looking at the country fall apart, but hey, I'm doing fine.
We're here. Not here for a long time, but a good time.
Right, exactly.
So why don't you tell the people about yourself? You don't have to give specific information, just maybe what you're into right now. Give me top three things that you're passionate about, things that you like that you're into.
Well, my name is Christina Bridges. I am a Sagittarius. Go follow me on CoStar. I'm just kidding. My name is Christina. I go by Chrissy. If you know me, you know I'm passionate about three things, and that's Bollywood movies, fashion, just everyday fashion, nothing too high end, and just probably decorating, you know. So I play a lot of Sims. I feel like those are top three, but I'm also passionate about a lot of other things. I get weirdly passionate about specific things at specific times. So when quarantine started, I was I'm really into, I can't even think of the name of it, embroidery. So I have a whole bunch of embroidery stuff in my room right now that I haven't touched since May or June, because I found something else to worry about. So I mean, I like to get creative and use my hands. So that's just some of the stuff, but yeah. And I am a teacher. So, you know, as the country is falling apart, I still have to show up to work.
they put y'all on the front lines as teachers, you know?
Yup.
I'm so sorry to hear that. But, you know, thank you for your service.
That's how I feel. I was on me and my coworkers kind of joke about this. It's just after you know, this whole pandemic, it's just people are going to be saying thank you too for your service. People already do that. I went to Ulta the other day. I think this was a couple of weeks ago, not the other day, but I told this lady, she's what do you do? And I'm oh, I'm a teacher. And she was just thank you. You guys are doing so much right now. I just really respect all teachers right now. And the way she's talking is what people who usually, like, the people who usually get that spiel are, like, people in the military. So I'm like, dang, do I get a veteran badge, though? Do I get a veteran, like, pass? Like,
you need to get discounts at your local
right
because of this.
Right. I'm going to just start putting my employee ID, like, front and center and just, like, yes, I do so much.
So one segment on the show that I'm going to start doing, since you are the first guest, so like no pressure, a lot is riding on you, but no pressure.
Yeah, right. Like you are making or breaking if I'm going to ever have guests ever again. Like you are going to make and break the show. Are people going to tune in? Like, are people going to hate you? I'm going to get you canceled.
Yeah, it's about time. I've been waiting for this. Turn it up. Let's go. You can't cancel me. I cancel myself.
Oh my God. At the end of this, you're just like, you know, I can't use any of this. Like, scrap it. And just actually, the last episode was the season finale.
So, one segment that I am doing on the show for guests is a fill in the blank test. And so, that I'm going to give you a sentence, right? And mm-hmm. in a blank, and you can decide how you want to fill in the blank and then explain why.
I feel like this is something that they would do in therapy to see if I need help or not, if I need to get admitted or something. It's like, oh, you answered like, you know, apple when it should have been orange, go to the hospital.
So first one, if I could do blank, everything would be so much better.
If I could clean my room, everything would be so much better.
Yeah, every time you hop on a call, you're like always thinking about cleaning your room, but does it actually happen though?
No. We all know this about me. It takes like very like stressful, like an amount of stress for that to get happened. But today is supposed to be the day. I was supposed to start before we got on this, like the podcast, but I'm gonna do it after. It's time. I'm feeling like a new woman. I just got paid, so maybe today's the day.
Hey, those bands, we love that. A working woman making her money independent.
right.
Next one. My favorite show is blank because
okay.
It's always. So, I didn't finish the sentence.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Actually, no. I was just gonna stop it at my favorite show is blank, because I mean you are very passionate about this, and I want to know what the answer is.
You see, the thing is, if it's like a movie, I would give a more passionate answer, but I feel like mine's so basic, and I don't know. My favorite show is The Office. Here's why. I love The Office because it's one of those shows, like, it's one of the only shows that I've ever rewatched, like, more than, like, two times. I don't really rewatch shows. I read this post, and I was like, this makes a lot of sense. So, I have anxiety, and I realized that, I saw this post that was saying that, like, people with anxiety tend to watch, like, the same shows over and over because they already know what's gonna happen.
And I saw that post.
Yes. And I was like, this makes sense. Like, I know what's going to happen. So I'm like, okay, maybe this is why I rewatch it so much. But also, it's just funny to me. Like, and some people, like, think that the last, like, two seasons were trash, you know, because Michael Scott left, or, like, you know, Steve Carell. And, I mean, Steve Carell was, like, the lifeline of the show. But I don't hate the last two seasons. So I just think it's, like, one of those shows where I can play it in the background and, like, I can just do things, and I can, like, still visualize what's going on. Like, it's one of those things that you can walk away from here in the background, and it still be funny. You can't do that with, like, drama shows. Like, I mean, other shows that I've, like, liked that were, like, very dramatic. Like, there's a show that's, like, really for kids, or it's not really for kids, but it's for, like, teenagers. It's called Never Have I Ever on Netflix. Actually, Mindy Kaling is, like, the person who is the executive producer, and I think she wrote it too. She has, like, that show was so good, and I love it. I wouldn't watch it again, like the first season again, and just have it on in the background, because I feel like it's one of those shows where when you have like kind of a consistent theme going and like strong messaging. And I'm sorry if you hear your children yelling in the background. I'm in my car. I like when you have like shows with like themes going, like I can watch it once and be like, wow, this is so impactful. And then just like never watch it again. Grey's Anatomy is another example. Like I love Grey's Anatomy. Would not go through the stress of rewatching every single season again. So, but definitely The Office. Also, John Krasinski is fine. So,
period.
Like, yeah, no, definitely. I feel like it's such a staple. You can do anything. You can sit down and watch it, or you can do all of your activities while it's on. It's a perfect show. 10 out of 10.
Agreed. So we're gonna cut the segment short because we've been shooting the breeze for a second. So let me introduce the topic. So the topic for today is more about diet culture and specifically like our relationship with food and how we have created this environment that's hostile to healthy eating habits and a healthy lifestyle. So I know for me personally, right? Like, I like to eat. I like to eat. I just do. Like, and it's, I don't really have a lot of self-control when it comes to food. So I'm not like binge eating, but I'm definitely eating whatever I want, when I want, when the mood hits. And it's not the healthiest thing most of the time. And so to see that, like, every time I go online, especially if I'm going on Instagram, people are like super fit, supposedly super fit. And they're, you know, kind of like advertising these like supplements supposed to help you make you skinnier or lose weight or get rid of parasites or whatever. And it's like, you do feel like guilty for just eating regular people food. Like I shouldn't feel guilty for eating a bag of potato chips. Everyone does that. But sometimes, you know, I'm like, maybe I need to skip a meal so I can finish this bathing suit today.
There's like times where I'm joking. I'm like, if I wake, like, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you obviously look like, you know, your stomach's a little bit flatter, like you look a little skinnier because you haven't like eaten anything, you haven't put anything into your stomach yet. And so I'm always joking like, oh, I just need to not eat until I take like a certain picture, like if I'm going to an event, so that way I can look this skinny for like in my picture. And that's so unhealthy. Like obviously I don't do that, but that's so unhealthy to think that way.
It is. And like, you know, I've always liked the more snatched version of myself in the morning. And like, I don't consciously do this now, but when I was younger, I definitely would, if I had somewhere to be, wait to eat until after I fit into the dress and it was already at the event versus like eating earlier in the day, like a normal person, because like, I didn't want to ruin the dress. Like for prom, for instance, like when we were in high school, I definitely didn't eat until dinner time when I was already in the dress because I didn't want to like have like a food baby or
Yeah, I mean, this is what online, I feel like the online culture kind of breeds these toxic thoughts because, like, you know, we see these workout routines, we see these snatch people, but then one thing I realized, I think like a year ago, and it was after several models like kind of exposed themselves or like, you know, just people were exposing like what they were doing. People just Facetune and edit the crap out of their photos. And I'm like, we've been new that like, you know, fashion magazines and like all these magazines, like, you know, Photoshop the hell out of celebrities because then you see like paparazzi photos and you're like, oh, you don't look like how you did in the cover. But then to see it like, you know, on Instagram, and it's more personal because like we see celebrities and we're like, okay, like that's, they have all the help in the world, you know what I mean? Like they have like dietitians, they have like workout trainers, they have the money to go get surgery. So we see that and we're like, oh, like, you know, like it kind of like some people take that in, but I think for me in my mind, like I kind of just disassociated from that. And I was like, okay, well, that's celebrities. Like, what about me? And then, like, this online emergence of everybody being an influencer, if that makes sense. And so everybody creating their own brand and their perfectly curated Instagrams. And, I mean, I'm, like, totally guilty of that. If you look at my Instagram, like, I keep it pretty consistent. But you know, you see people like where they look, they're perfectly curated Instagrams and like they look so good in their photos. And I like it gives you the feeling some type of way, because then you see how snatched they look and you're just like, damn, like, why can't I do that? And you're like, we're like the same age and I know you, like, you know, or I don't know you, but like we're relatively like in a close sphere of like social circles. And then just to see that people, like everyday people, are who are just having nice Instagrams, like they're face tuning and they're like, you know, editing their photos. And I mean, the top influencers do this too, but it's just, I don't know. I feel like this culture of this, like wanting to look snatched 24/7, you know, and how it translates over into your real life. It's just very, this is the toxic culture we created. Like, why do we have to look perfect 24/7?
I talked about this in an episode before where it's like, specifically with Instagram, it makes me feel almost a little bit worse seeing people that you know on Instagram that have a huge following and somehow they know this magical secret to getting more followers and like being snatched. Because even if they don't look like that on Instagram, it's the fact that they can.
Right.
And they know how to, because they've invested all this time in finding the right angles, wearing the right clothes, having the right background, and of course, editing their photos the right way. And I'm just like, what? It's like a different type of popularity. And like, yeah, those internet strangers may not know who they are, but I do. And I'm like, they don't look like that in real life. How do they do this? And it just makes
right.
me, I'm not super, like really, when I say it doesn't affect me as much anymore, it really doesn't. But like when I was like younger, I would say when I was still in university, maybe my first 2 years of college in high school, I was very influenced by that.
No, like I can admittedly say that I'm still influenced by that, because like even last night when I posted my Halloween picture, I posted one photo. I probably took like maybe 50 photos because I was trying to find the right angle. You know what I mean? I don't FaceTime or edit my photos. And for people who don't know what I look like, I'm a thicker person. Like I never know how to explain what I look like if you've never seen me before, but I like, you know, have big boobs, I have big thighs. Like, unfortunately I don't have a butt, but like, I just think of the TikTok audio with like, how you thick with no ass.
I saw a TikTok the other day with this girl, like, from the front, like she had hips or whatever else. She looked like the typical thick.
I know what you're talking about. I literally know what you're talking about. I like when I saw that, I felt validated. I felt seen for the first time in my life. I really felt validated because I like, we're not even gonna get into that. But my point is just like when I was taking these photos, like in my mind, I'm not like, I have these days where I'm like, I'm the biggest person in the world. Oh my God. And then sometimes it's like, oh, I'm not that, like, I'm not that big. I'm just tall and thick, you know? And so when I take these photos in my mind, I think I look one way and I'm just like, oh, like get the angles right. And then I find something to critique and I'm just like, well, how are these people getting these perfect photos? Right. And like, I'm just like, I just look, there's something wrong with it. And I just critique the crap out of it until I find one that I semi like, you know, or like I like enough to post. And that's an issue. I should not feel that way about my photos. That's a problem.
Because you're much harsher than anybody else is. Like, there's been times where you have like sent pictures to me and was like, which one is better? And I was confused because they were all relatively similar. And as far as I was concerned, they all looked pretty good. Like, I didn't see anything wrong with them. I don't really look at photos with a critical eye like that, unless you really, like, you really, really tried it. So when I see your photos, I'm like, oh, she looks cute. And you're like, oh my God, no, but maybe if I do this, or maybe if I take it from a different angle. And you have like a million and one different vantage points for the same photo. And I'm lost.
I'm trying to learn how to be less of a nightmare about that, because I just need to learn how to let go. I think
what also kind of started this too, kind of like pin rolling, I know that we're getting kind of off topic, is dating apps. Like, I think I really became that way because of when I started using dating apps. I'm just like, they are going to see me and you're going to think I'm the biggest person in the world. No one's ever going to want to swipe right on me in any capacity. And so this pressure to have nice pictures, so that way, like, when I go through my sporadic periods of, you know what, I'm just going to get on the dating app. Like that, it will, like, I'll have good photos, but you know, those photos never even seem to be enough at that point, because I'm just like, I always find something wrong. But it goes back to this pressure that, like, we've created as a society from, like, you know, looking good all the time on Instagram, also in real life too, like, you know, making sure that your stomach looks flat. So how do I make sure that my stomach doesn't look as big, or how do I make sure that I don't look as big? And I remember, like, you know, talking to you about it and how, like, I would buy clothing because, like, my boobs are the biggest thing on my body, and, like, I've gotten that comment a lot. And so it kind of, like, my boobs, because they're so big, it kind of hides, there's a lot of things that I can't wear, if that makes sense. And so, or I can wear, but, like, I just feel like I look awkward, and I'm still trying to show a figure, or I'm trying to show, like, not look as big, because I feel like once I get this boob reduction, I'll be able to look proportionate. But if I wear, like, this hoodie, for example, if I go out wearing it, like, I look a lot bigger, it makes my stomach look bigger, but I'm just like, no, my boobs are just, you know, everything. But this is too much pressure, and all that pressure goes back into food. You see, we're taking it full circle.
Like, one thing you brought up before I get to the food thing,
yeah,
I have feelings, but, like, do you do some of the things that you do in terms of, like, taking pictures because you know that some of them are going to be put on your dating profile? Is that, like, part of it?
Yes, I feel like, well, okay, I should also say this. Right now, I'm not really on dating apps because it was very toxic for me because of the fact that I had this, like, I think dating apps were more toxic for me than, like, you know, like, Instagram, because of that pressure to look good. But when I was actively on them, yes, like, if I took a photo, I'm just like, oh, like, you know, I'm gonna put this on my Hinge profile, like, you know what I mean, and make me look a certain way. So, like, my, like, sometimes I'll take, like, a more, like, I hate saying this because it's so awkward, sexy, sultry photo, because I want to come off as someone who, like, all sides of me, I don't want to look like a typical, like, oh, girl next door, oh, she's so sweet, oh, she's cute. Like, no, I want to look like a bombshell. So I don't want the adjectives, like, cute thrown at me, you know.
But, like, why do we do so much for these guys? Like, you are so pretty and you invest so much time in clothes and hair and makeup. And, like, I wish I had that level of dedication. Maybe I'll get there, but I'm really not there now. But these guys, you know, they're doing, like, a 3-in-1, 5-in-1 shampoo, conditioner, body wash situation.
Right.
Cheap haircuts.
Right.
Barely brushed their teeth. Like, what?
Period.
What is it all for?
I mean, period.
Yourself, but, like, the dating app part is what's killing me. Like, these men are gremlins.
It's the curse of liking men.
The streets are really having a difficult time.
Right. I'm struggling. No, I you're right. You're absolutely right. Because I look at these guys' profiles on Hinge and Tinder and Bumble, and I mean, no effort. I feel like I see the same fish profile picture all the time. Or, like, you know, like, it's the same type of pose as, I'm like, dang. And then I see my friends', like, profiles and the pictures that they pick out, and it makes them look like an overall, like, great individual. Like, you know, they have their, like, night out with friends pictures, they have their individual photos, they have their, like, the photos that shows their personalities, like, you know, to make them, like, seem like this complete package. And then I see a guy have, like, this, like, the basically the same the photo, just different outfits. No effort at all. And then their responses too are just no effort. And I'm like, what are we doing this for? Is it really because, and I always question that. I'm like, is it for the men in particular, or is it because I don't want to be alone? And I think I know the answer to that. It's just the fact that I don't want to be alone. So what makes me stand out?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not feeling it. I don't know if I've ever truly been that pressed. Like, I've wanted guys to like me before, right? I've wanted to get validation and approval from them and be told that I'm pretty, but it was still never enough to do some of the stuff that I see people doing. And I think it's just kind of like, I just don't understand it. Even now, especially now that I'm older, I don't see it. I don't get it, because I know a lot of these guys, their hygiene ain't even up to par. So I'm like, what is it all for? And what makes it even worse is that on dating apps specifically, like, to me, it's such a low return on investment. These guys will swipe right on anything, because they, like, even if they matched with me, it would not necessarily mean that they talked to me. And just because they talk to me doesn't even necessarily mean that they want to see me in person. So if that,
right.
I might as well just be myself, because what is the return? I'm doing all of this stuff, I'm taking all these pictures, and then I feel like it could get you nowhere fast because you did all
right. The
work. And then, like, no one's going to appreciate it. And then men are stupid enough to not appreciate a woman with a really nice glam look because they think that she has too much makeup on or whatever.
That's true. I think, you know, you hit an important point of, like, you know, being yourself. And I think for me, I think I'm more focused on my pictures because of the fact that, like, I feel like my personality doesn't showcase well through text. Like, I barely respond to my text messages as is. Like, you have to call me to get in touch with me. Like, you really do. Like, I don't text. I will call. Like, if someone starts texting me, I would try to call them because I'm like, nope, I can't do this. So I feel like in order for me to, I want to showcase myself through my photos. So that way, like, you know, they would, like, want to see me in person. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I don't know, but then you have to text them and I'm like, I hate that. Like, I do. So I'm really bad at, I put all this effort in and then I'm like seeking this validation. I am, because of the fact that I've just like, and that's another reason why I mean, that's the main reason, honestly, why it's toxic to me, is because I'm seeking this like validation of like, am I actually pretty? Am I actually worth it? Blah, 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 blah. And they get these responses, like, especially on Hinge, when they can leave you comments and you're just like, okay, like, that's validation. But, like, why am I seeking that validation? I have to find that within myself. Like, I need to build my own self-esteem, because, like, hanging on to that validation from someone else and then that gets taken away from you, like, that's going to mess you up because you didn't build that up in your own head, you know? And so when I was in my last relationship, that happened to me because of the fact that I, like, you know, he complimented me, like, you know, a lot, and he would always, every time I would, like, send him photos of myself, like, you know, I'm like, oh, is this good to post, blah, 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 like, he would say, like, you know, just all, like, completely gassed me up, you know, and I, like, started to believe it in my head. I'm like, okay, yeah, like, I look good, like, I'm good. And then when we broke up, like, my world literally shattered and so did my self-esteem, because I'm just like, wow, I'm so great. Why did you leave me? You know? So I have to really build that in myself before I can, like, you know, do any of this other stuff.
Oh, man, that's tough.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, every person falls into that trap of, like, when you're with someone, that it automatically means more, like, their opinion automatically means more than your own. And, like, I don't know if guys feel the same way. I'm sure they do, because everyone wants to be told that they look good. But, like, I do think that, you know, it's very easy to fall into that trap of, like, oh, well, do I look good? Am I hot? Am I really sexy to him? Because that's a big thing, right? Like, sex appeal. Like, am I sexy? Like, am I like, you know, fuckable? And then he's like, yeah, yeah, you are. He's like gassing you up. And that's the only time you even remotely believe it about yourself. And then mm-hmm. we are no longer together. All the stuff that he complimented you on, like maybe like it was your butt or your eyes or your boobs or your hair or whatever, you know, he complimented you on all those things and made you feel desirable in that way. And then those same things are going to be the things that you automatically start to question because, well, he's no longer in my life. Is it because he didn't find these things attractive anymore? Or is it because like he found someone else who looked better, who had better attributes? It's like, I found, at least within myself, that like, you know, in a previous relationship, I definitely did start to call into question the same things that I was like, that they were gassing me up about. And that's when I knew that like, I had put way too much stake in their opinion, because at this point, my self-esteem is like tied to what they thought about me. And if they're not mm-hmm. with me, and if they don't necessarily want to be with me anymore, then clearly, you know, something's wrong with me, you know?
Yeah. And so like now, as you say that, I just think about, you know, at the end of the day, I should not want to someone to just be with me just because I look good, you know, like I want someone to like be with me because of the fact that like, you know, we click, you know, we have this great rapport, like we completely understand each other and we're very supportive of each other and we have like an actual relationship, like, you know. And I realized that in my last relationship, although we did have like, you know, a great rapport and stuff like that, like we didn't truly understand each other. Like we weren't really meant for each other. Like, I feel like a lot of it was, you know, it's just like based on just arbitrary things and just very simple things. So it was like, oh, I like hanging out with you. And also you look pretty. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's like, I'm realizing like, even if he compliments me 24/7, like, you know, do we actually get along? Like, do I actually want to, like, do I actually want to, like, talk to you for the rest of my life? Like, you know? And I mean, that may seem extreme. Like, oh, like, for the rest of your life, you're just in a relationship. But I feel like at this point, I mean, I'm, like, 22 years old. But it's around that time where people start, like, you know, like, I have friends who are married. Like, you know, people are, like, actually settling down, you know? And so, I don't know, just like, am I able to actually have a relationship where we're growing with each other, like, you know, we're hanging out, like, we're, like, you know, being, like, best friends, basically, you know? So, I don't know. Well, that's where I'm at right now, and this pressure to, like, look good thing is just, like, kind of, it's like, I have that realization. But then at the same time, I'm just like, I'm still like, I feel this pressure, like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that pressure is never going to go away because we society, like,
yeah,
I think there's ever, and that's one thing that I really hate about like, sometimes about like self-help and like people who are like preaching like self-love and self-acceptance is that, to be fair, we live in a culture that makes it very difficult to do that. So like, even if, you know, you are further along in your journey and you have some sense of like, this is who I am and I'm not going to change for anyone and I love myself, you can have all of those things and all of those things still be true and still have bad days because like you live in a society, like there's nothing stopping you from going on Instagram and you may have a whole week that's really good. But then one day out of that week, like on a Saturday, you are on Instagram and you see something that triggers like self-loathing tendencies or like, you know, comparing yourself to other women, you know, it's like impossible to not come across that. And I think that we shouldn't see it as like an end destination, like, oh, I love myself, the end, because there's mm-hmm. room to grow. And there's always going to be things that challenge that because this society is built to make you hate yourself.
100%. We live, as the Joker said, we live in a society.
Wasn't lying, just facts.
Right, just facts. No tea, no shade, just facts.
I was going to ask about your relationship with food, because I think that...
How dare you ask about that? I'm just kidding.
Hangs up the call.
Right. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I was gonna ask about it because, like, I think that you have a very, like, unique perspective on it, and it's, I like the way that you talk about it because you do use a lot of humor. But I think just in general, your story is, like, really interesting. So can you tell people a little bit about what your relationship with food is now?
Well, get ready for another reason why I'm insecure about dating. So I have an eating disorder, and the best way I can describe it is, so the name is avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. Basically, it is an anxiety disorder and an eating disorder kind of blended together. When I was going to therapy, and I'm going to have to start a new, more intensive therapy for this, but when I first started going to therapy, my therapist thought that maybe it was kind of similar to OCD, because a lot of the same things that she saw in, like, OCD, people who are diagnosed with OCD, I kind of do as well, but only in relation to food. And so what that is basically, and how it operates, is that I have the diet of, like, a 4-year-old, basically. Like, I do. I have probably, there's less than 20 foods that I can, like, that I am comfortable eating, like, I will eat, like, that less than 20. I can comfortably say less than 20 now. Before I would say less than 10, but less than 20 now. And
it's progress, though.
Yeah, it is progress. I have extreme anxiety about, like, bringing different foods into my palate, if that makes sense. And so, like, there's a lot of things, like, you can throw any kind of food at me, like a name of food, and so, like, hot dogs, I've never had a hot dog before. Like, I had salad, the lettuce from a salad, like, once, like, a few years ago, and I had to eat it outside, and I started crying. Like, it's very extreme. I hate it. Like, it's not something that's cute, quirky. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, you're just a picky eater, but it's like, no, like, it's a deeper thing going on, but I definitely hate it. because, again, I eat like a 4-year-old, and it's not great. And so my relationship with food is very interesting, because, like, you know, when we get into this, like, fad diet culture and stuff like that, and, like, oh, you have to eat only these, like, list of foods and blah 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 blah, or, like, have these really crazy diets where it's like you're, like, vegan diets, for example, when you're trying, like, all these new recipes to make, like, the same foods but, like, in just a vegan form, I'm like, I can't even participate in that. Like, or if I did, because it's like, I don't, like, not that I shouldn't say I can't, it's like, I'm not able to at this very moment participate in that, because I just don't have the mental capacity to do it. But for not the reasons of, like, self-discipline, it's more for the reasons of, like, I just can't eat food. And then, like, fad diets, it's like, oh, well, you can't eat this, 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 and that. So it's like, you take out bread. Well, that's, like, half the stuff that I eat, you know, because, like, I love pizza, so I take out bread, then that's literally half the stuff that I eat. Like, you know, oh, you can't eat chicken. Well, that's literally my diet. So it's very interesting when I see all these people, like, and my friends have asked me, it's like, oh, do you want to start a diet with me? And I have to respectively be like, no, heart emoji. And remind them that I literally cannot.
But, like, what has been interesting to me, just, like, listening to your story, is that, like, it's the most random foods. Like, I'm surprised. When I first met you, I knew that after a little bit, you could only eat pizza and chicken tenders and, like, fries. But it was, like, random stuff for me. Like, it was, like, the not eating wings and not hot dogs. Like, the hot dog one caught me off guard, because I just assumed, like, you could eat that. I think you can eat hamburgers. I've seen you eat hamburgers, right?
No. I told you the story about how... Did I not tell you that story?
I remember. Tell the people.
So, because people know that I have this very traumatic relationship with food, when I was in high school, this girl, she was like, hey, like, you know, for my, and we were at a party, so it was a room full of people, and she's like, hey, like, I, for my birthday, like, you know, I really want you to eat a hamburger, and I feel like that's the, and I may sound unprovoked, but at the party, like, you know, they're getting hamburgers, and they're like, oh, you're not gonna eat one? And I was like, no, like, I've never had a hamburger before, and people knew about my eating, so it wasn't, like, a big secret to people, like, oh, like, you know, like, why have you never had a hamburger? And so I, so she was like, for my birthday, I really want you to, like, have a hamburger. Like, these are so good. And so they, like, made me a hamburger. It had nothing on it. It was just a plain, like, burger and patty. I can't do sauce. Like, I, for the people, I don't even use sauce. Like, I don't use, like, condiment sauces. And so, like, they, like, I was just sitting there, and they were, like, forcing me to eat it. Like, and so I took a bite, and after, like, 10 minutes, and I went into a closet and cried and called my parents to come pick me up, because that was just super traumatic and super stressful.
I think, so, yeah. First of all, there is a common theme, like, I've noticed when we talk about, you know, your eating disorder, that people don't take it seriously. Like, they think that they can force you to eat stuff that you don't or can't eat, or, like, they think it's funny. Like, can you tell me a little bit about this, or just, like, let the people know? Because I find this incredibly interesting. Like, it's like people can't wrap their brains around.
Yeah.
In a way.
And I understand why people can't wrap their brains around it. And I've said this to you before. I've said this to my therapist, and when I've explained it to people, food is such an integral part, most if not all cultures on this planet, if we're talking about, like, in terms of, like, you know, I was about to say cultural, but culture can be very, like, very broad. But when we're talking, thinking of cultures, like Indian culture, like, you know, Black culture, stuff like that, and those type of cultures, like, it's so integral to them. And that's how people connect. Like, you know, that's one of the ways, like, that people are able to connect. When you're sharing your culture, you're sharing, and food being a big part of that, it's like, oh, like, you know, you're getting a portion of who they are. And, like, you know, people eat to survive, obviously, and they eat, the foods that they make are part of their culture. And to find this, like, basically see someone who can't eat, or I shouldn't say can't again, it's like, doesn't have the mental capacity to try new foods, has a lot of anxiety around it, and just that's not, like, a part, like, I don't look at foods, I'm just like, oh, that's so, that looks so good. Like, I don't really have those thoughts. Like, I remember my friend was, like, looking at the Food Network, and she was, like, looking at different ways to make foods, and she was just, like, sitting there watching it, and she's like, oh, wow, that's so good. Like, and she's just talking about how good it looked, and I'm just like, I looked at her, and I was, like, looking at the TV, and I was like, what do you enjoy about this, you know? Like, I didn't understand, but it's because I don't have that connection to food because of my eating disorder. But yeah, like, people don't take it seriously because it's just so random, and it's so, like, very much, like, it's completely out of the ordinary. Like, who do you meet, and you're just like, you don't enjoy food? You don't. So there's people who have been less than kind about it. I remember I was dating this guy, and when I, like, opened up and, like, told him about it, he, like laughed in my face, like he thought I was joking, and I was like, no, like, it's not a joke. And there's people who have been, like, all of my friends, like, have been very understanding. My family has just always thought, like, when I was younger, like, oh, like, she's gonna grow out of it, like, you know, my kid was, and they'll always tell, like, my parents, my kid was a picky eater when like they were younger, like, she'll grow out of it. But the only person that ever said anything in my family, like, about me getting help for it was, like, my grandma, who, like, may she rest in peace. Like, she told my mom, she's like, no, that's a serious issue, like, there's something more going on. But yeah, so it's very interesting how people react. I think people, when they see how bad it can be, or they just like, or when I explain it better to them, because I wasn't able to explain it before, like I would, and then I would just cop out and be like, yep, I'm a picky eater. Yep. But now I'm just like, no, like I don't want to just classify myself as a picky eater because that's unfair to me. And like, you know, and the struggles I deal with. And so I feel like a lot of people are more understanding this because probably I'm dealing with like more mature people. So yeah.
I'm gonna answer or get you to answer some common questions people are gonna have, because I think it is such a unique disorder. Like, I'm pretty sure it's very rare. I've only
BuzzFeed article. From what I've researched myself too, as well as from like what I've heard, like really only four or five year olds have this issue. Like, and it's very rare for it to progress into adulthood, you know? So if I'm gonna go to, and I've, I'm trying to figure out where I can go. Apparently, like, I can go to a speech pathologist because about this, because they, the ones that are trained in dealing with like eating and like feeding processes. That's what my friend told me. She's in grad school and she was like talking to someone at her job about like me and like what I go through, and they recommended that. But there's different ways I can go to more an intensive form of therapy, just to just like condition myself into eating foods and trying new foods. But like, you know, it's very rare. Yeah, it's very rare to see an adult with this issue.
The first thing I would ask is, so you can eat chicken fingers and pizza and fries, and I have seen you eat that. Is there anything else that you can eat? You can eat cookies, certain types of cookies, right?
Yeah. So I can eat like, like, these are also random, like garlic knots. I can eat like Salisbury steak. I can eat spaghetti. Like, you know, I'm trying to think of stuff that I like eat, like ravioli. I've eaten lasagna. I can eat macaroni and cheese. I can eat baked chicken. Like, I'm trying to be more healthy and just eat baked and grilled chicken. I'm trying to think. Now that I sit here and think about it, it's like, I don't know. Like, but when it comes up, I can drink smoothies though. And so that's been helping me a lot. I eat fruit. And I like, before, I eat fruit. I don't have any issues with fruit. But I think when it comes down to like certain vegetables, like I can eat green beans. I may not enjoy it, but I can. And yeah, like there's other, I feel like there's other things that I've definitely can eat, but I mean, I'll be my first choice, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing you did mention that I wanted to talk about was that, like, enjoyment of food. Like, I know that people watch like the Food Network, and you know, people like me, I love the Food Network. I love to cook. I love like the experience of cooking and eating and serving other people with food and watching other people cook it. Like, that is part of the enjoyment of food. And so do you feel as though, even though you don't necessarily participate in some of those prepping activities, like prepping and watching people cook it, even without that, you would still say that, like, you enjoy food though, right? Like, it's not just like you're just eating just to fill a need, but like you actually do enjoy the taste and what have you.
I feel like for maybe the foods that I like, so pizza, like, I'm just like, I like, you know, I love pizza. Like, that's my favorite food. So I can really enjoy, like, you know, a good slice of pizza. And I mean, like, I feel like I rank like fast food restaurants based off of who has the best chicken nuggets, but,
as you should,
as right. And that's on period. And even though this is going to be so problematic, you know, even though Chick-fil-A has the best nuggets, even though I feel guilty every time I eat there,
There's not many places you can go, sis. I don't think.
I know. And we talked about, we literally had this conversation too. It was just like, I can't boycott places because where am I going to eat? I don't, I have nowhere. But so I can like enjoy like certain foods. Oh, I'm weirdly passionate about pretzels because I make my own pretzels now. I know how to make my own soft pretzels. And after I learned that, like, I feel like Auntie Anne's is trash. Wetzel's Pretzels is where it's at. There's only one in the state of Georgia. And so if you go to Sugarloaf, if you go to Sugarloaf Mills, please go to Wetzel's Pretzels because that is top tier, top tier. But anyway, so there's like certain things where I'm just like, okay, like maybe that can be seen as enjoyment or passion or whatever. But besides that, like, I don't, like, I feel like maybe my therapist has said, like, maybe I should start, like, partaking in, like, the process of making a meal, you know? Mm-hmm. So that way I can get more accustomed to, like textures and feeling and, like, knowing what goes into it. Because there's a lot of different things that cause it, like, everything encompassing from smell, taste, texture, also what's in the food. Because, like, there's been times, and you were there to witness this, I've tried a food and I had an allergic reaction.
Oof.
And that really triggered my anxiety even more because I feel like, you know, I'm like, I don't know what's in here. And so now what if I have an allergic reaction to something that's in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So because of that whole experience of like me trying that thing and like, you know, basically not knowing that I was allergic to something because I never had it. Like, I'm allergic to tree nuts. I'm allergic to like cashews because the thing that I ate had salakajukatli. It's an Indian treat. And I didn't know I was allergic to cashews, tree nuts until that instance. And I'm like, dang, am I going to go through this every single time I have something? I eat something, I have get sent to the hospital.
No, but that's like a very valid fear to have. I mean, you were like trying to try a new food or a new treat and it ends up with you in the hospital. Like, that cannot be good. Like, that cannot be good for you mentally because you're like low-key worried about going through that. Like, it's already traumatic having an allergic reaction, but when you have it to food and you already have an eating disorder, I can imagine that would be really stressful.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's definitely a very interesting thing to have with that. Like, there's just so much that goes behind it that it's like, just to unravel it, it's just, there's so many layers. So I just need to be more comfortable with different textures, with smells and stuff like that. And I was reading this article. I feel like there may be several things wrong with me in relation to food. It's like this certain type of comorbidity that's going on where I think that my taste buds, like there's certain, so there's, I think they're called super tasters and people with like super tasting, like super taster taste buds. They have this, like they're usually end up being the more picky eaters. Like, you know, and you can get a test done to see what kind of taste buds you have. Like it's, and it's like a paper test. It's not like, I don't think you can do a regular paper. I think it might be like specifically engineered for this test, but I can get it done somewhere to see if that's like what I'm going through. Yeah, I don't know. That's just one random tidbit of it. Like I said, there's just so much like that's like behind it.
And I don't think you even know why. Like, I don't think you ever really figured out why you even have this eating disorder, like where this came from.
No, like apparently my parents said that when I was younger, like when I was a baby up until literally the age of 4, I like would eat like anything, like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have issues like taking a bottle, like I didn't have issues to eating baby food and stuff like that. Like, apparently I've had a hot dog, but like in at that time, you know what I mean? But then my mom said I started going to this babysitter when I was around the age of 4 and like I just stopped eating and I can't tell you what happened. Like, I can't, like, I don't know what happened. I don't know if I'm just blocking it out or just that it's just a coincidence that happened. I can't I have no traumatic memories or of any type of event going on. All I know is just that this is how I've always been. Like I would be that kid that like my parents would be like, oh, if you don't eat this, you're like, you're gonna sit at the table like until like, you know, you eat it. And I would just sit there and stare at it because like it's like a physical like reaction that goes on in my body too. Like I mean it's anxiety, but like I feel like I tense up in like my core, basically. Like my whole body is tense when I like look at foods.
You know, just to kind of bring this full circle,
mm-hmm.
I think that what's so interesting about, you know, our relationship to food, I guess, more broadly speaking, is that like everyone has a different relationship with food. Like some people have a healthier relationship, some people have eating disorders, but we're all kind of stuck in this like machine essentially that tells us that we have to do very specific things, and it's all based on vanity at the end of the day. Like,
yeah,
it may not even be the healthiest thing for us, but we'll do certain things. Like for me, and I hate to admit it, but I think that like I know there's like a really what's the word I want to say, like a trend, because it is a trend, but it's like a fasting trend where you do intermittent fasting to help you lose weight. So mm-hmm. you are like not eating for large periods of time. You, let's say you already go to sleep, but you're not eating at that point, and then you break your fast in the morning around 7 to 10. Well, a lot of people extend that period. So they go from maybe 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. without eating anything. And that's 12 hours out of the day where you're just not eating. And before, you know, I used to justify doing that by saying, oh, well, it's going to help me lose weight, or, oh, it's going to help me stay slim, I'm not eating a lot, blah, blah. But what that inevitably ended up doing was just being like disordered eating, where you're mm-hmm. really not eating for huge chunks of the day. I know it's controversial to say this, but that's what I feel like it's become for me personally, because there's no real reason for me to be doing, you know what I'm saying? Like I've been doing it for so long. I don't think there's
yeah.
for me to be doing this other than I just don't want to eat a regular amount of food a day, because I feel like, you know, what happens if I gain weight? Like, am I still going to be attractive? And that's such a fucked up thing to think. That is, but that's what it's becoming now. And I don't like it because it's not healthy. It's just not healthy for me. You know, being a healthy weight and eating like two meals a day that are filling, that are nutritious, like that's going to mean that I'm not necessarily going 12 hours without eating.
I think for me, it was two things. During quarantine, I definitely lost like a little bit of weight. I don't know how much weight. I don't weigh myself because I don't want to go through that, because I feel like when you pair a number to it, in my opinion, that triggers me beyond belief for different reasons. So I just kind of like do what I do, like, you know, so I was hiking a lot more, and I still hike it like a lot. I was going on hikes, and I was also doing those intermittent, like I would joke that like when we were at home and real lockdown, or I guess like lockdown, I was eating my first meal at like 3 p.m, and I'll probably eat like another time, like at like 8. And then when I go to bed at like 12, like I didn't eat anything, because I'm not really a snacker. Like, and even if I eat like a snack, like I don't have like a whole bag of chips or whatever. Like I just probably eat like one or two like Cheez-Its or like a fruit snack. Not like a fruit snack, but like a couple of fruit snacks, and then just call it a day. For snacking purposes. But so on top from that pairing of me hiking all the time and me not eating as much as I would on like a regular, like, you know, when I'm going into work and like, you know, having like a daily life, I was losing a lot of weight, or like a substantial amount of weight that people noticed, like, you know, and they would comment on it and be like, oh wow, you look so good. And so in my head I was just like, I just need to keep on doing this. Like, you know, so yeah. because I want to look good. And then another thing for me that's like in relation to my eating disorder is that I will often joke, but sometimes in the back of my head, I'm like serious, that it's like, oh, like, I don't want to eat this food because if I start eating this food and I like it, I'm going to get bigger, you know?
Yeah, I think that that's really problematic, actually.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we all go through that because like when we get that positive affirmation that we're looking for, like, oh, you look so great, we can, you know, we tie it to us losing weight, it makes us feel compelled to want to do more of that stuff. But one thing I wanted to ask you though, because I know that your relationship is very specific, like, you know, you can't really participate in diet culture in the first place because you can only eat such a limited amount of foods. Like, how does that make you feel when you see like there's such a push for like veganism and vegetarianism and all these other different types of lifestyle diets that are very like exclusive, and ultimately like you know that you can't eat random vegetables that somebody picked from somewhere because your taste buds don't allow for that? So does it make you feel as though you can't really get to the weight that you want, or maybe that you feel not included in these diets and that maybe like that sort of Instagram fitness trend isn't for you? Like, how do you feel about that?
It makes me feel a lot of things because I'm just like, damn, like in order for me to look like, you know, someone on Instagram, I'm going to have to basically starve myself through these diets. And then I think about it and I'm just like, oh, like, you know, it makes me feel some type of way because even with diets, like, you know, these restricted diets, you know, you're supposed to like, you know, eat less of what you do. And I feel like when I started eating a little bit less, like, you know, I don't even eat that much to begin with, even really with the limited, like, even with the limited diet that I have, like, I'm like, I can probably eat like once in the morning, and I do this right now. Like I'll eat like once in the morning when I'm like going into work, and then like I don't eat at school, like at school, like, you know, I'll probably like have like a few animal crackers or something, but I don't eat while I'm at work. And then like I'll probably get something after work because like I've been like, you know, running around like all day, like, you know, teaching. So I'm like, okay, like I'll get something after work, and then I probably won't eat after that. I might eat like something light, but I don't eat like meals, like big, big meals. So I'm like, dang, I'm still fat. And I don't eat that much. And so I look at these fat diets and I'm like, you're eating nothing. And I'm still eating nothing. But I mean, granted, that's still the calorie intake too, that matters. But then I like go, now I'm going on walks and stuff like that. And I think to me, I'm starting to overcompensate. I'm like, I have to walk more. I have to do these hikes more. I'm now lifting because I have weights in my garage. I have to do more of this stuff. So that way I can like offset my food, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's very odd to me that like we are so ingrained with like fat phobia, because that's really what it is, that we all that like if you eat healthier that you're gonna magically lose weight, and that's not necessarily the case for everybody. Like, what if you lose 10 pounds and you still over 170? What you gonna do then?
And that's why I don't pay attention more so to BMI and weight, like my specific weight, because I'm like, I can still be 170 pounds and be unhealthy. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, what matters is like, obviously I still want to look like good, and that's like a whole thing within itself. Like to get to that certain physique. But when I think about the number, I'm just like, the number is not as important to me, because like I can, the body goal that I want isn't like thin, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want to be like, I can't imagine myself being like this like skinny little thing, like, you know. But like I want to make it seem like you can see my curves, and that is why I'm getting a breast reduction. But that's a whole separate topic. Yeah, like I want to tell you, I look at these TikToks of these girls who get these breast reductions, and obviously they lost like a little bit of weight too, but nothing too drastic. They still look the same, but it's their, I carry my weight in my boobs. But going back to what I was saying originally, I don't know, like, it's definitely, I'm not looking at the numbers anymore. I'm just going based off of like, okay, what is my doctor telling me? Am I unhealthy? Like, based off my doctor. And honestly, I think I'm a medical mystery right now. Because I have low cholesterol. I thought that the foods that I would eat would give me high cholesterol, but I have low, like, my issue is low cholesterol, and I have to build my cardiovascular strength. I'm pretty sure that's what they said. And so they said, like, do more cardiovascular activities. And so I've been walking and hiking. So to kind of build up that, my heart.
I mean, honestly, you're healthier than me, if we're being real, because I don't have a healthier diet at all. Like, yeah, I really, even when I cook at home, I'm not necessarily like cooking the most nutritious, like, oh, look at me, my grilled chicken breasts with no seasoning and salad and asparagus, and I'm eating like acai bowls every day. I'm not doing that. I'm not.
And oh, wow.
You do a lot more than I do in terms of like consistently going to the gym, or not going to the gym. You do hikes. You do more hikes than anything else. You go on a lot of hikes.
And
you all the time. I don't do none of that. I should be doing that, and I don't. And so the mere fact that like you're really dedicated and committed to your health, but you're bigger than me, I feel is like so completely like an affront to fat phobia, because we're so used to thinking like, oh, you're a bigger person, you eat a lot, or you're a bigger exercise. That's not true. It's really not true. You can be super unhealthy and be skinny. Like, I'm not necessarily the healthiest person, and I need to work on that. Meanwhile, there's someone who's bigger than me, who's very active, you know, they have, you know, got a clean bill of health as far as I'm concerned. Like, I think that we should normalize that more, which comes with respecting bigger women, respecting their bodies, respecting their autonomy, and also staying the fuck out of their business. Like, none of your real business what their health journey is. It's up to them to disclose that information, and they don't owe that to anybody. So,
right.
I feel, I'm gonna get off the soapbox. That's how I feel. Like, let people live their lives.
Period.
So thank you for coming on the show, Chrissy.
Yeah, I feel like at the first part, like, we definitely got into like a topic that should be a whole podcast within itself, which I will gladly come back for, because it's like, I feel like all this stuff, like with my eating disorder, like it directly ties into, like, you know, my dealing with my relationships, whether it's a romantic or just like familial or platonic, and just like my view on life and stuff like that. So yeah.
I could totally see that.
Yeah.
So do you have any like final words for people who are watching this, and just like a takeaway, like what is something that you want them to get about, you know, whether it's about body image or whether it's about like diet culture or relationship with food, like what is something that you think people should take away from this?
I think there's a couple of things. Well, the first thing with diet culture, diets do not work. If you're just doing a fad diet, that's going to be over in like a month or a few weeks. Like, if you are changing your diet, that means that is a lifestyle change. So I don't have any problems with people who become vegans or vegetarians, because at the end of the day, that's your body, your choice. But, you know, make sure that that's like more so a lifestyle change. So that way, like, you know, because you'll get actual results if you're just changing your diet is your palate, you know, the foods that you intake on a daily basis. It's not something that you just change for a short amount of time and everything will be solved, because you'll just get, if weight loss is your goal, you'll just gain the weight back. I've seen it happen like multiple times. So don't rely on these fad diets that you see on like, you know, in Instagram and stuff like that. What you see on social media is not real. It is perfectly curated. You are seeing the good parts, someone's highlights. So if someone looks good, it's an angle. I mean, not to say that they don't look good in person, but just like you're not going to look perfect every single day at every single second. Like, you know, so don't like feed into that. In your relationship with the food, like, I think that everybody needs to have more empathy, you know. You don't know what someone's dealing with in their relationship with food. the things that they go through. You don't know. I mean, we talked about like my eating disorder and it's so rare, but you don't know if someone had struggles with, like, I hate to say more popular eating disorders, but the more well-known eating disorders like bulimia and anorexia. So definitely approach every situation with anything in life, obviously with empathy, but especially with food, because that is a lot more of a sensitive topic than people could potentially know, if that makes sense.
You're absolutely right. I think that, you know, our relationship with food, you know, I think, how do I describe it? I think a lot of corporations are creating this unhealthy relationship with food because they need to sell a product. Same thing with these diets. They need to sell a product. A lot of times they're like, oh, feeding into like body dysmorphia, and they're feeding into our insecurities. They're playing that against us so that they can sell us something. So whether it's like tea or some sort of weird supplement that's not approved by the FDA, like, they're trying to sell us something. And so I think are skeptical of what we see on social media and understand that a lot of people, they have brands to monetize. And so they're going to monetize their image. And sometimes that means getting sponsored by people and by brands that are not necessarily keeping us in mind. So, you know, being very critical as a consumer.
Everything that you said is so true. I think that you can analyze yourself through a healthy lens. Like, you know what I mean? And I, like I said, your body, your choice. If you want to be, like, you know, if you want to lose weight and that's your goal, like, don't let that, I support it. Like, you know what I mean? If you want to, like, you know, just live a healthier lifestyle, I support it. Like, you know, I just do everything that in a healthy way that doesn't destroy your body. It's like, you know, or it doesn't, like, that would ultimately, like, and when I say your body, I mean a more a holistic sense. So like both your physical, like, body, like, you know, and your mind. So yeah. Like, people don't think about the mind aspect, but it's like, how is that really relating to you and your mental health? So.
Snaps. I guess we'll have to end it on that. But
thank you. I had fun. Please let me have me back. Hopefully the people don't cancel me.
I don't think so. But yeah, I loved having you. We'll definitely have you back. We'll schedule some time to talk. So we're going to go ahead and close off the episode. Thank you guys so much for joining with us. If you liked what you heard, please rate us 5 stars on iTunes. It helps us with the rankings. Like, follow, and subscribe. Review us. Share us with your mama and your daddy and your grandma. Tell them all about the podcast. And I hope that you guys have a great rest of your week. Ta-ta.
Bye, sisters.